Cool, guys. Thank you. I've Got a Home in Heaven. What a fantastic song. What a great way of worshipping our God. My name is James Thomas, and it's fantastic to come and be here. Please turn to Luke 6. I hope I've got the right passage. I believe the organization of David Kainer. It'd be very unlikely that I got the wrong one. I'm here with my daughter, Millie, back in the back there. Hello, Millie. Who's 7, and she's best friends of Felicity, and it's a real joy for both of us to come here today and join with you. We're from the Riverside, which is Carolina's old ministry, back in the southwest of London, and we've recently moved. I'll say a little bit about us. We've recently moved down to Epsom, which is a little sleepy town right in the outskirts of London, down way down south, and I'm an architect, like Juhay. Dear friend, Juhay. Well, there, hello, Juhay. There you are. And Juhay's at UCL, you know, and that's where I finished off my architectural training as well, which is another little link there as well. Good old UCL. Anyone else from UCL here?
Yeah.
Come on. Oh, okay. Thanks, Tor. I'm an architect, like I say, and being an architect, I tend to spend all my spare time, or too much of my spare time, doing up my house, and doing up the house I've been in. And we spend a lot of time in our house in Battersea, and we moved out there recently when we went down. And we tried to get Tom and Becky to move in there, but they said it was too far away from your dear central. So we decided to rent it out to somebody, and we found a nice Chinese family. Nothing against Chinese, and but we had a lovely Chinese family. In early January, after a few months, I thought I'd go round and just do a little inspection, a landlord's inspection. I felt very grown up doing this thing. And I was a bit surprised that only the husband of the family was there in the house, and the wife and the little girl weren't there. And they had quite a lot of incense going on in the background, which was strange. And the house was very clean, but it was very empty. It felt a bit like a kind of bit of kind of cut price stage, you know, where they're trying to pretend that they were living there, and there were a few toys here, and there were just some little inflatable beds in each of the rooms, and didn't seem to be anything there. And I went around the house getting more and more bemused by what was gone. In the end, I went to the last bedroom, and my son's old bedroom, and I opened up the wardrobe quite quickly, and the guy got a bit wary. As I opened it up, behind it were 60 large plant pot containers. And I looked in there, and they'd had whatever been there been cut off, but there were little leaves just left over. And it was that leaf which is reminiscent of all those T-shirts that you see on the beach, little marijuana leaves. So I beat a hasty exit and called the police straight away, and to see the Chinese guys running in the opposite direction. The police came round, and they found out that what the guys had done is they had 400 marijuana plants growing. Most of them were up in the loft. They were also in the bathroom. And they'd stolen electricity. They cut big holes in the roof to duct air through and to heat it all up, and had 600-watt ultraviolet lights going on. And they reckon they'd had £300,000 worth of marijuana grown in our house in the 4 months. They haven't asked me for the deposit back. Today's sermon is called The Fruit of Forgiveness. And I'll give a clue, it's certainly not marijuana or cannabis. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expect them to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, thank you that we can hear and study Jesus' words, and they can ring down through the years, through the centuries to us, Lord. I pray that all of our hearts can be receptive to his words, our Lord. I pray that we can be changed by those words, that they won't just fall on deaf ears. I thank you that we can take the Lord's Supper, that we can remember Jesus' death, we can celebrate that, we can take that together as a body. And I pray that we can be devoted, each and every one of us, be devoted to Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. It's an amazing passage, isn't it? Really, really full on. And our first point is going to be called forgiveness. Jesus tells us to do good to our enemies, to lend them without expecting to get anything back. And if anything will take something from you, to not even try and get it back from them. We're supposed to bless those who curse us. We're supposed to pray for those who mistreat you. What an incredibly high standard Jesus calls us to. Something which seems idealistic. Something maybe for some other time or place, maybe some little rural community somewhere. But here, London today, the most cosmopolitan city on earth, you know, in this room even, you know, is it really for us still? Should we really take Jesus' words or should we ignore them? I want to ask you to do something very vulnerable today. I'd like to ask you to take some time to think, and I want you to write down, get a pen out or an iPhone or whatever it is, and write down the name of the person who has hurt you the most. I'm not going to ask anybody to be open about it or share it. It's just for you, between you and God. But I'll ask you to take a pen out and write down, just for you, the name of somebody who's hurt you a great, great deal. And I know that's hard, because it's hard for me. And for many of you it'll be harder. Because, yeah. We all live in a world which is full of pain. It's full of hatred. Murder, rape, incredible cruelties are commonplace. Sometimes they don't even get on the papers. And all of us, everybody here, apart from maybe those two little girls at the back, have been hurt really, really badly, I'm sure. Everyone's treated in ways which are unfair, unjust. The Bible says, Hebrews 4, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Bible is sharp. It's a little like one of Rory's scalpels. It cuts deep, you know. It judges the heart. And what we're going to do is some little open heart surgery today on our own hearts using the Bible. And I really want to ask you to take part in that. I want you to think of and write down that name, the name of the person who hurt you the most. There are a number of people who hurt me a lot over time. For me, by far the hardest, the most difficult, is a guy who I used to work for. He interviewed me and gave me a job at the best architectural firm in the country, possibly the best firm in the world. And later on, he gave me a fantastic role, set up a new division where I got to work on some amazing projects, which included Wembley Stadium and the winning competition for Beijing Airport, which is the biggest building in the world. It was pretty good. And if you like architecture and if you love this work, it was, my dreams were being fulfilled. And then later on, he rang me up. And I trusted him, and I respected him, and he was a friend. And he rang me up and said, I'm leaving, I'm going to set up my own company, and I want you to be an equity director in that. And he offered me 10% of the firm. And I was delighted. And I burnt my bridges, and I left. And then after I left, things got a bit funny, and too late, I didn't have anything in writing, which was foolish, of course. Not calling anyone to be foolish. He changed the rules a little bit. And I wouldn't have equity and I wouldn't be a director. But I kept going because I couldn't go anywhere else to go there. Film was a huge success. I worked long. I worked very hard. I didn't see my children enough. And the company did very well. The man paid himself £1 million a year in salary. And after 4 years of great success, he sacked me. How did I feel like? I felt like I'd been lied to. I felt like I'd been cheated. What should my response to that be? You know, in purely commercial terms, the company had a turnover of £18 million by that stage. It was making profits of £4 million a year. If I'd had 10% of that, that would be worth, and I'm sure David or Amanda could share that, but I suspect several million pounds that would be worth. Enough money that for me and my family, we would never really have to work again. You know, everything we wanted. And all that was gone. I had to go back. My reputation was in tatters. My profession, I didn't really have anywhere to turn to. And you know what? That was hard. Really hard for me to forgive that man. To go to that man and go, you know, forgive you. And more than that, because he was a friend. I thought he was a really good friend. How about you? How about that name that you wrote down? I'm sure that's, you know, it's only a job. You know, some of you have been through a lot worse than that, I know. My wife's been through a lot worse. If we look around the world, we follow the society's ways around the world. Society doesn't call for Jesus' forgiveness. It calls for revenge. Look now at Bahrain, Egypt, Tunisia, Libya. People rising up against leaders who've stolen everything from them, who've mistreated them for years, and are now rising up. They're being killed in hundreds and thousands. In Israel, last 10 years, this everlasting conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. 1,000 Israelis and 6,000 Palestinians have been killed since 2000 alone. Iraq. 150,000 people killed since 2003. Rwanda, genocide. Hutus and the Tutsis, 800,000 people were killed in 100 days in 1994. A hatred so often builds hatred and builds and builds and builds. And that's the world's way. And it's so easy for that hatred to take root inside you and to build, and so easy to dwell in it. I know, because it dwelled within me a great deal. And to be filled with resentment and vengeance and hostility, and to carry out anger and bitterness into every relationship. And not to, it took me a long, long time to trust anybody, in church or outside of church after that. Jesus preached for us a difficult message. And he lived out that life as well. And let's look at his life. Turn to Luke 23. Luke 23 and verse 32. This is right at the end of Jesus' life. When Jesus has been arrested, he's been tortured, he's been tried, and he's been condemned to death. And here he is in verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. Even in his death, even though Jesus had done nothing wrong, Jesus forgave. Far, far worse than any of us have ever had. Jesus forgave. He forgave on the cross. And in that sinless sacrifice that Jesus gave of his own body, He forgave not only those who killed him, but he was also able to forgive our sins. And as we took in communion, we remember that. And that gives us the freedom that we have. Who did you write down? What name do you have who hurt you? Is what they did to you worse than what was done to Jesus? What we're called to do is to follow. Always. As a Christian, all we're ever asked to do is to follow Jesus. If we could just be a little Jesus and just follow him and follow his example, everything would be okay. You know? Let's follow Jesus' example here. His example of forgiveness. Let's love our enemies. Let's bless them. Let's pray for them as Jesus did. And if someone steals from you, don't demand it back. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Let's read on in Luke 6. It reads from the middle of verse 35. From verse 35. Yeah, 35. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Judge others. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the blank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Amen. In our old house, the cannabis farm, we had planted some vines, three vines, and we had a warm south-facing garden with a big six-foot-high wall all the way around it, which may be the reason why it was picked. As a cannabis farm, I mean. And the vines did great. It was full of light, full of warmth, very protected. And after 8 years, those vines grew up and up and up. And they just covered the wall of the house. And I built this trellis kind of from that wall to here, you know, and as wide out as to Rory as well. And we had a trellis filled with vines. And you sit up there, and there were hundreds of bunches of grapes hanging down from this in the summer. And it was... it was a little Eden. It was just wonderful. And I just loved sitting out in that garden. And it felt, you know, these grapes just hanging down. It was a dream. And they just kind of asking to be eaten, you know, and gold. Anyone here like grapes?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Great. You really like grapes?
Yes.
Yeah? Who really, really likes grapes?
Yeah?
Yeah? You sure? Okay. I have some grapes.
Yeah.
Who should I pick? I think I'll pick Carolina for old time's sake. Carolina, how would you like some grapes? There you go. They're seedless grapes. They're not from our garden, I'm afraid. It's the wrong season. But what do we read about in the Bible? We talked about grapes. Could you just take Carolina's Bible for a second? Thank you. Thanks. Because it talks about, you know, godly portion. Yeah, so it talks about quite a lot of bunches of grapes. Could you? Here we go. Okay. There you go. I think there's a couple that have dropped here again. Is that okay? Is that enough? Yeah? Okay. Carolina may want them all for herself, but she may. You're very welcome to them all. But if you want to share, you can. The verses. I think Tor is taking the first verses. If someone takes from you, don't ask for them back to her. The verses talk about grapes and says that a good tree produces good fruit. And our second point is called fruit. Easy to remember? You know, God is generous. God is really generous. What does he say? He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. And it goes on, for with the measure you use, so it will be measured to you. If you're willing to forgive, God will pour blessings onto your life. Blessings that you can't believe. A good measure shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. I'm glad Carolina likes grapes. But Jesus says there are different kinds of trees and different kinds of fruit. And each tree is recognized by its own fruit. He also says we don't get grapes from briars. I went out yesterday with my son. And we went out in Epsom, and we got some briars. Anybody like briars? Yeah, these are briars. Do you want them? Can I persuade anybody? Alex, no? Rory? You sure? Why don't you want these briars? I'll leave them there, and if anybody wants them, then you're really welcome. They were quite hard work to pick, actually. I had to have big gloves on, and they've got some big thorns on them. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree grow good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. You will never get those grapes from those briars. I can tell you, I'm not a gardener, but I've grown a few vines. You'll never get those grapes from those briars. What's your life like? Is it full of forgiveness? Is it full of love? Or is it full of hatred and thorns and evil? A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. You know, today we've got out the word. And I hope we've used it like a scalpel. Those words, Jesus' words, not my words, Jesus' words are a scalpel to our hearts. What have you got stored up in your heart? Is it hatred? Is it bitterness? Lust? Greed? Evil? That's what the word the Bible uses, evil. Or is it forgiveness, love, prayer? What we have stored up in our hearts, what we take in, is what will come out of our mouths. We can't fool everybody. What we put in is what will come out. Right. It's easy. It's great to come here. But it's easy to come to church and to hear a message about forgiveness and about fruit and to say, that's a nice message. Right. You know, but I don't have to do anything particularly urgent about that. That's, you know, I don't have to do anything into effect today. Life can seem especially in the world we live, very comfortable.
Yeah.
But the Bible also says that storms will come, the flood will come. And storms will come in everybody's life, every man, every woman. A storm will come, Christian or not, a storm will come. As an architect, Juhay, we design buildings. We work closely with structural engineers. They do the complex maths, those engineers, yeah, to make sure that the foundations are ready to withstand anything which will be thrown at them. Those foundations equate to our lives. You know, the thing about foundations is I'm not that bothered about foundations most of the time because I care about the pretty bit. I care about what the developer cares about, all the area above land and how it looks like. That's what we all care about. Nobody cares about foundations apart from the engineer and the builder. And we just care that they hurry up and spend as little time and as little money as possible under the ground, chucking in that concrete and the steelwork. You know, there's no show, no glory, it's just an annoyance. It's true. That's what foundations are. But the only time that it cares, the only time the foundations come in useful, is when that storm comes. And then, by heck, you want those foundations to be there. In Queensland last month, in a small town called Grantham, there were houses. There was a storm. And the houses were crumpled by what the Premier of Queensland, Anna Bligh, described as an inland tsunami. According to the local media, the flood waters reached a height of 7 or 8 metres.
Wow.
That's kind of up to where we are from the street level outside. Maybe a little higher. 23 or 26 feet for Ian. By the time it struck Grantham, 9 people were confirmed dead. And many more feared washed away. 66 were reported missing. The body of one victim was washed away at Grantham and recovered 80 kilometres away, 50 miles away, downstream. You know, Grantham and the houses in it, many of those were destroyed by that flood as it went through. The flood came, foundations, the buildings weren't up for it. They looked pretty on the outside, but there wasn't enough there. And that's how lives can be, isn't it? You know, lives can look great on the outside, but you don't know. You really don't know what's going on inside.
Yeah.
You know, in the papers recently, just this last couple of weeks, Tiger Woods, a hero, the greatest sportsman of our age for a lot of people. You know, won more PGA titles than anyone else. Fantastic life, wonderful marriage, beautiful lady, lovely children. And then all unraveled at a time. And suddenly he had tens of sleeping with prostitutes and affairs going on all over the place. And now he's been fined for spitting. He can't win anything. His life, the flood came. And we found out that his life was not built on foundations. It was washed away. You know, for some of the older ones, we remember a footballer called Paul Gascoigne.
Yeah.
Possibly the greatest midfielder England has had for many generations. And everyone adored him. You know, fantastic footballer. Now his life, he's a drunk, he's got mental health problems, he's in and out of mental hospitals. His wife was battered by him and sued him, and she's now more famous in some ways and more respected than he is. He's got nothing left. If you build your life on no foundations, what are you building your life on? You know, Mubarak, you know, dictator of Egypt for 25, 30 years, the beloved leader of his people. He's now in hiding. Apparently he's in a coma. You know, all kinds of rumours of what's going on to him. He's had a heart attack, that he's in a coma. But his life is in tatters.
Yeah.
It can happen so quickly when the flood comes. And what I say to us is, that's them. But what about us?
Yeah.
There is an urgency. And I plead to everybody in this room to take it seriously. To not disregard Jesus' words to our lives.
Right.
But to take that scalpel blade, to look inside and see what your life is like. Is it a briar or is it a fruit brush? What is the fruit of your life? What are you putting in? What is the good inside your life? Examine your life today. Think about it. Whether it is full of fruit, juicy, or whether it's full of painful briars. No use to man nor beast. I hope that, in conclusion, if there is hatred in your life, if there is that name that you wrote down or you thought of, that you will forgive them. Hard though that is, that you follow Jesus' example, his living example, that you will love that person, that you will pray for them to be blessed. If there's hatred and evil in your heart, get it out today. Don't wait. Get it out today. Don't leave the room without speaking to somebody. Get rid of it. Change your life today. Think about the fruit in your life today. Is it full of evil? Or is it full of good fruit? Don't leave the meeting without deciding in your hearts to make changes. To take hold of the true fruit of righteousness and forgiveness. The full blessing. The full blessing. A good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Which will be poured into your lap. If you take hold of those promises of Jesus. Take hold of that blessing. That promise from him. Take hold of the life. Picking up your cross daily. And following our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.